Live across the greatest city known to man, from Altona to Abbotsford, from Yarraville to Yarra Glen.
This is Triple M's Hot Breakfast, Saturday edition.
The Treasurer of Australia, Josh Frydenberg, joins us on the line this morning. G'day, Josh.
Good morning.
Let's get down to the budget last night. Congratulations. It's a massive budget. It's sort of one that's out of the ideology of the Liberal Party, if you like, but you have to kick the economy forward. First of all, is this predicated on a vaccine coming to Australia? And when are you sort of hedging your bets on Victoria being reopened as far as businesses are concerned?
Well, we have put in an assumption that Victoria will open in line with what the Victorian government set out on the 6th of September, so that those preconditions for getting the virus under control and numbers reduced of daily cases, and then it would gradually open before the end of the year. In terms of a vaccine, there's an assumption that by the end of next year, we will see a rollout nationally of a vaccine, and obviously we're all very hopeful of that, and as a government, we're throwing everything possible at the researchers, as well as the international supply chains to ensure that we get the vaccine for Australians.
Okay, now Josh, let's go through the finances themselves. For all the tradies who are driving around this morning and people, small business owners, and you know, our wonderful listeners here on Triple M, there's the tax write-off situation and also the traineeships that you've brought into play. Explain that and how that'll kickstart the economy and help people out there with their own businesses.
So we're backing trainees and apprentices with $4 billion, not just to protect those who are currently in apprenticeship, but to give an incentive to businesses to take on 100,000 new apprentices. And we're doing that with a 50% wage subsidy. We're also allowing businesses that would have otherwise been profitable pre-COVID but are now have been loss-making to take these losses and to carry them back against previous profits and to get a refund from the ATO. Normally, you would only be able to use your profits, your losses, when you make future profits. But these are not normal times, Eddie, so we're allowing them to do that. We're also introducing what is called a job maker hiring credit. So if you are a business and you take on someone aged 16 to 35 who has been on JobSeeker in recent months, then you will get an incentive from the government, and that will make it cheaper for you to take somebody on, and that will boost and support around 450,000 jobs of young people across the economy. And we've done that because in previous recessions, it's taken a long time to get people off the unemployment queue and into work. There's also incentives for business to invest. So if you're a tradie and you want to go and buy some new tools, we're allowing you to write that off in the first year. If you're a farmer and you want to go and buy a new harvester, you're allowed to write that off in 1 year as opposed to over more than 6 years. If you're running a manufacturing business and you want to upgrade your production line, you can go and write that off in 1 year. And that will create a whole wave of investment and, of course, jobs across the economy.
Hey Josh, how quickly do you think the Australian economy can recover and the global economy? I was listening to Ray Dalio, the world's most successful hedge fund operator, and he is talking about a global depression. He's comparing what's happening around the world to going back to the 1930 Great Depression. Are you seeing those numbers in all the information you're getting, or you're expecting us to get out of this a little bit quicker here in Australia?
Well, context is important to us, and the world is seeing its most significant economic shock since the Great Depression. And we've seen much bigger falls around the rest of the world than even what we've seen here in Australia. But there is a way out, and we are seeing unemployment come down, and particularly off the back of this investment that we're making. So there's an expectation that unemployment will fall to 7.25% by mid-next year. And Treasury says without the economic support that we are now putting into the economy, that unemployment rate would have been 12% this year and next year. And so our measures are helping to create around 1 million new jobs over the next few years. And so we're really focused on avoiding the experience of the 1980s and the 1990s here in Australia when we had recessions and it took a long time to get people back to work. So I'm very hopeful. Your listeners going off to work should be very hopeful. We're in the best country in the world. We're better placed than any other country in the world. And in last night's budget, we really threw everything at it to get people back into work.
What have you got for Victoria? We've been the hardest hit. We need to get out of this as quickly as possible. What have you pumped into the big V?
Well, there's more than $1 billion of new investments in infrastructure. So whether that's, you know, regional rail lines, Warrnambool and Shepparton rail lines, whether that's more money for local councils to undertake shovel-ready projects, whether it's road safety upgrades, there's a lot more money for Victoria in terms of infrastructure. Obviously, there are many businesses that are being challenged in Victoria now with the lockdown, and as you know, we've got the JobKeeper program going for another 6 months, and there'll be more businesses in Victoria who are on JobKeeper than in all the other states combined, but we're providing those other additional incentives for Victorian businesses. There's extra funding, whether it's around affordable housing, first home buyers in Victoria. There's also, obviously, a big investment in skills, which is going to be very important for Victorians. And then we've got a whole range of essential services that have been guaranteed, whether it's new spots for in-home aged care, whether it's new drugs being listed on the pharmaceutical benefit scheme, whether it's extra funding for mental health support. There's more money into the National Disability Insurance Scheme. All those programs are obviously helping Victorians and are helping the nation.
Well, unfortunately, Josh, those black cups you had with the surplus, mate, they're going out on the hard rubbish now. They're no good. The world just changed in front of you, didn't it?
Well, you know, you can. Some people are still bringing them up with me, but the reality is no one expected a pandemic like this. You know, we had such a tough time, Ed and Darce, at the end of last year as a nation. The fires, the floods, the drought. Who would have thought? We'd get a global pandemic. I'm just waiting for the next challenge. Who knows?
Triple M's Hot Breakfast, Saturday edition.
Jimmy Barnes joins us on the line right now this morning. G'day, Jimmy.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Now, Barnesy, I've got your book in my hands at the moment, Killing Time. It's your third book, and you are a fantastic storyteller, and you've got such an eclectic life, as we say. And I opened the page, and I landed on Deepak Chopra. And it appeals to me, as someone I've been a meditator for over 25 years. I'm thinking Jimmy Barnes meets Deepak Chopra. That is a collision of sorts. Tell us how you got to meet the guru Deepak Chopra and what's he like, because I understand he's a good friend of yours.
Yeah, he's a good mate of mine. I met Deepak many years ago. I can't even remember how many years ago. Jane was through friends of ours. Jane was going to a couple lectures, and she just said how fantastic he was. And I jokingly said, "I'll kill him, you know. I'll have to go check him out." And I was joking. But I actually went to have breakfast with Deepak, and from before he did some lectures, and he was just an awesome guy. We hit it off really well. Loves music, you know. And I've traveled. I've been to India. I've done meditation clinics with Deepak, and I've done courses with him in San Diego, and you know we're old mates, and he's been to shows with me, and. You know, we have lots of mutual friends. In that story in the book there, he invited me to dinner one night, and it was such an eclectic bunch of people. It was incredible. You know, there was, Donna Karan. There was all these philanthropists and billionaires, and, I felt like a fish out of water. But I sat down, and he introduced me to this little quiet old woman, and it was Rosa Parks. It was just unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
To sit at dinner, and I sang. I actually sat next to him. Ellie Mae was with me then, my youngest daughter, and she was five. Ellie and Jane were with us. And Ellie was five or seven. And Rosa told her story at this dinner. And Ellie Mae ran across the room and went, "Oh, you poor little thing," and gave her a cuddle. And Rosa thought she was incredible. So it was just amazing. She was an amazing woman. And I sang a gospel song for her. I was put on the spot. I had to sing a gospel song for her. It was beautiful. She was an incredible, incredible person.
Jimmy, you're in the news again today. You grew up in the tough suburb of Elizabeth, we know, in South Australia. But you've gone on Adelaide Radio and you said, if Port Adelaide get through the grand final, I'll play the grand final for free.
Damn.
now you're going to get sacked from the Scotsman's Association for saying you're going to do it for free.
My manager's going to be on the phone in a minute. What the hell are you doing? Now, you know what happened? They were saying to me, I was doing a radio interview yesterday, and this guy said, it's just, they're going to, they've got the Brisbane Symphony Orchestra playing at the football. What's happened? I said, "Oh, no, that's good." And he said, "No, we don't want an orchestra. We want a rock band." I said, "Oh, I'm a porter. Get in. I'll play for free." Next thing, my daughter in Adelaide's ringing me going, you're all over the papers. They're playing on radio every 5 minutes. So I might paint myself in a corner there, Eddie. What do you reckon?
But to be fair, well, you played, of course, famously. You famously played at the MCG for Collingwood and Carlton one day. We got Jim came down, and one of our directors, Alex Weisselt, got a please explain from the AFL because he was dancing on the ground. He didn't have a permit to be on the ground to dance.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. They got a two-word reply on that one, the AFL.
I've done the grand final quite a few times. It's such a major event. I just hope that they can capture some of the atmosphere, you know, having the first time ever not at the MCG, you know. So it's been such a crazy year, and you know, I think for the AFL and the NRL to be able to get through a season and still put on such incredible games. It's been an amazing games. It's been fantastic. I would tell you what my favorite job would be though. Would be the guy who mixes the live crowds. You know how you got the guy.
Yeah.
You know, you can just rubbish referee. You know, you can just turn up if you want it.
Speaking of great, Jimmy Barnes, he's got his new book out and it looks fantastic. Jimmy Barnes, Killing Time. And this week we celebrated the life of the great late Eddie Van Halen. And you had story around Eddie and a request to actually join the band at one stage, Jimmy.
Yeah, I was literally recording. I was just finishing up Working Class Man, that album. And I was in LA. We were mixing and doing final touches on it. And I finished work at about 5 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon. And I went back to the apartment scene. And Jane, Mahalia was small. Mahalia was asleep. And Jane was waiting to dash out to get something from the shops. She said, "Watch the baby. She's asleep. And I'm just going to go out." I said, "No problem." And as she ran out the door, she said, "Oh, by the way, Eddie Van Halen rang for you." And I went, "What?" And so I walked over. I thought she was kidding. I walked over at the desk. There's a number. So I rang and I got through to Valerie Bertinelli and she said, "Oh, I'll get Eddie." And it was he was very nice. I think David Lee Roth had just left, and he said, "Can you come to my place? I want to have a talk to you about joining the band." I said, "Oh, look, I can't because I'm babysitting and my baby's asleep." And it was funny. He just said, "I'll be right over." And within half an hour, him and Ted Templeton, the producer, were knocking on the door, and they came in. They're a bit nervous, and they were looking for a singer. And I think Eddie was a bit of a Chisel fan, you know, because they asked me twice. He asked me when Sammy Hagar left later on, and asked me again. So I did see a quote yesterday in one of the social medias saying that Eddie Van Halen would happy to be locked on a desert island as long as he got to hear Mossy play guitar.
Oh.
So I think he might have been a bit of a Chisel fan, you know, which is, you know, when Ian's a pretty good guitar player. But what a loss! I mean, Eddie was such an innovative, you know, groundbreaking guitar player. Played on some of my favorite music, you know. So it's a real sad loss for the world.
Stick around. There's more of Triple M's Hot Breakfast Saturday edition to come shortly. Triple M's Hot Breakfast Saturday edition.
That's the hard rubbish is out at the moment. I got a photo through yesterday from a good friend of mine, Mike Gibson. Now, we've got to find out, there's a two-part question on this one.
Mm.
First of all, it's a photo of a coffin, on which we believe is in Washington Street, Toorak. First of all, was that yesterday, or is it just one that's bobbed up from somewhere? Because Mike wasn't able to completely verify, but he received it in his inbox yesterday. Is it a current one? Number two is, it is actually a coffin on the hard rubbish at some stage. And I suppose three, what's the funniest thing you've ever seen or picked up on the hard rubbish? Now, Rosemary, you're a bit of a magpie on the hard rubbish. You like everything around, don't you?
Sure do. I've had some great coffee tables, a dining table that I currently use, two stereos.
If you had driven past the coffin, Rosie, would
definitely.
You would have grabbed it?
Absolutely.
What would you have done with the said coffin?
Pop it in the corner. Put a little skeleton in there, dress it up. It's fantastic. Yeah. It's got the nameplate on it too. Well, what you can use to engrave the plate, but there's also some sort of insignia on top of the nameplate. So I've sent it to my dad, who's a funeral director, to see if he has any intel on the make or whatever, if he can make anything out. You can buy them at Costco.
Yeah.
Not this particular model, I'm not sure.
It's interesting, but this coffin though, isn't it? So someone's put it out and it looks as though it's close to brand new. It's not as though it's moulded out or anything.
It looks proper too, not like a sort of a mock
theatre
one.
No. You don't usually get a second go at those ones, do you? Usually, they don't usually come back.
Recycled, are they?
Washing machine as well,
once,
if anyone
only
needs
once
one.
That we know of anyway. But Rosie is on the line from Hawthorne, not our Rosie. It's another Rosie. Welcome, Rosie.
Hi.
Tell me, you saw the coffin, did you?
Yeah, I did. I was definitely there yesterday.
Did you think about stopping and putting it in the back of the car, Rosie, or not?
No, I didn't, but I was wondering about how you end up with that in your junk.
So did you take some photos as well?
Yeah, I've got some photos.
Oh, you might have to whack them through to us,
yes,
Rosie,
please.
If you can do that.
Go to MMM Hot Breakfast. If you want to see the coffin out on Washington Street in Turek, brand new, looks in great condition in the hard rubbish. Thanks, Rosie, for calling through. Paul from South Morang, hard rubbish. What's the strangest thing you've seen?
Yeah, good morning, guys. How are we all going?
Good, mate.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I put a ladies' mountain bike out at the end of the street because I thought someone might get use out of this. Mm. And the next day I'll come out and the mountain bike's there. There's no wheels, there's no seat, there's no handlebars, it's just the frame. They took everything else, just left the bloody frame.
Why didn't they just ride it away? It would have been easier.
Oh, that's what I would have thought, but no, I'll just strip it there and leave the frame, no worries.
Good on you, Paul. So you got left with the frame. Great stuff.
Jacko's on the line for Bacchus Marsh. What can you tell us?
Good morning, guys. This one's not that strange at all, but I was plugging away at work, and the old fella comes over with this lawnmower and on the front nature strip of this place. And I thought it was all grouse and stuff, and it worked and all. It was a ripper. But at the end of the day, I said to me, old man, are you sure this was hard rubbish or it's some poor bloke halfway?
His mower. Yeah.
Exactly. He's mowing the lawn. He's going in to get a drink or something.
Someone's knocked off his mower.
Yeah, probably. I don't know, mate, but it worked grouse, so it's a bit suspect.
Yes, very good, mate. Thanks for the call.
In fact, it was still going at the time. Might have been the giveaway.
The smoke was coming out. Sue's on the line from Frankston. What can you tell us, Sue?
Good morning, guys. This is a couple of years ago with hard rubbish in Frankston, and there was a pile of mattresses out the front of a local brothel.
Oh.
They didn't look particularly appealing.
No one picked them up, Sue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, something.
Triple M's Hot Breakfast, Saturday edition.
Listen, it was an amazing game Saturday night, and I will say that we replayed it about three times yesterday. I can't get enough of it.
But
what it does
it?
Mean, oh, it really does. What it does mean, Das, is that I've got your voice in my head.
Really?
Because I loved the way you called the dying minutes of the game. I think it was an outstanding job. Can we relive it a bit there, Rosie?
Yes.
The most important clearance of the year for these two teams. For one side, their year ends in a minute and 17 seconds.
It's the best. The year ends in a minute and 17 seconds. Now, I'm not someone who remembers commentary very well. I don't have that kind of brain. But I tell you what, all day yesterday, the year ends in a minute and 17 seconds. It's appropriate wherever you go. Willow, you better get in the bath because the year ends in a minute and 17 seconds. It is ready, and I'm telling you, you better come because the year ends in a minute and 17 seconds.
I should have gone with the world ends in a minute and 17 seconds if you don't get this right and win the clearance.
Great. So I now have a piece of commentary that I'm going to be able to quote, because I'll tell you what, growing up around blokes that love footy and, you know, all my life in radio, you're surrounded by people who can just quote their favourite commentary to you, and I love it. I love the way people remember and often impersonate the classics. Have you got any for me?
Yeah. Well, Rosie, can I play one? This one goes back to 1970. It was a horrible moment in our lives, Joe. This one changed the course of history. But Mike Williamson's call of Alex Jesolenko's mark is still one of the all-time great pieces of commentary.
Mackay to the wing position on the member stand side. Oh, Jesolenko, you're guilty!
Oh, 1-3-3-5-3, your favourite bit of commentary. Give us a call, 1-3-3-5-3. I must admit, I always go, Joe, to another bit of sport, and I think because he was my schoolmate, we started the first day together in year three, and John Aloisi, when he kicked the goal to get Australia in the World Cup, I was on the couch, I'd done my knee, I just had the operation, and I was told you need to be very, very careful. I nearly did it a second time. I jumped off the couch with so much joy. Rosie, we got a bit of John Aloisi and that famous goal.
If John Aloisi can score this goal, Australia will be there.
Are you sure?
I'm trying to do my maths. 4-2.
4-2. He wins it for us. John.
Here's Aloisi for a place in the World Cup.
He wins it for us.
He scores! Australia have got it!
Come on!
John Aloisi, the Confederations Cup hero, has done it!
Go on, boys!
What have you got, Mike?
It's got to be BT's call for the 2016 grand final. The yes bomb. Set the world alone.
My four kids' favourite ever moment in their life, I think. Mike, can we play it, please, Rosie?
Buddy tackle by Morris. Oh! Dropping the ball. Boyd took the advantage and played on from inside the centre square. Boyd's kicked the goal. From inside the centre. I can't believe that. Boyd has kicked the goal.
The laughter of the great.
I think you should be allowed to play that without the beep.
I think so.
That should be in the archives.
It was so in context at the time.
It's on the DVD, which I love too.
Let's go to Jake from Mornington. What have you got, Jake?
Hey, guys. I don't think many commentary moments can go past Greg Miles' Maccabi Diva winning the third Melbourne Cup when a champion becomes a legend.
Here it is.
A nation roars for a hero. She's starting to wind up. 300 left to go now. Maccabi Diva's racing up. Envoy's trying to go with her. They've got to Portland Singer and Lachlan River. Here comes like a falcon and excellent. But Maccabi Diva clear with 100 metres to go. Excellent runs to second. Ottozoon runs on. But a champion becomes a legend. Maccabi Diva has won it.
What a moment that was. That just makes the hair stand up on the back of your neck. Let's go to Al.
Fabulous caller, Greg Miles. Just a great race caller.
He nailed it. A lot of messages coming through, Joe and Ed, from Carlton fans. They want to go back to the 1979 grand final just to burst the bubble a little bit. This is the great Peter Landy. Wayne Harms knocks the ball back into Kenny Shelton, 1979. Rosie, it sounded like this.
Down towards the half-forward line. Harms tries to pick it up. Buckley gets it out to Harms now. He's pursued by Brewer, but he can't catch him. Harms fires at the goals, but he's off target. It's rolling towards the boundary line, and Harms almost makes ground. He sends it back to Shelton, and it's a goal! Oh, what a goal!
Happy to concede that was actually in, Ed.
It was in the Hilton Hotel front bar. It was that far over the line. What are you talking about?
Triple M's Hot Breakfast, Saturday edition.
We head over now to the IPL and Steve Smith, the superstar Australian cricketer who's playing for the Rajasthan Royals, Ed, I believe, over there. Yes. Now, he has been hitting the head a bit lately, so this may
explain
a little bit. He's released a video, Rosie. He's strumming the guitar. He's in the full Rajasthan Royals kit.
Yeah.
And this is a little bit of Steve Smith. Have a listen.
I think it's called All I Want.
I've never been to Times Square to celebrate the new year, and I've never seen Willie Nelson live. If I never get to, that's all right. Cause I've seen you with your hair down and your bare feet, dancing around the living room, spilling wine on your dress.
Sorry, it was all I need to see. It wasn't what I needed to hear, though.
What do you think Steve thought he was going all right with that before he released it?
I think he was a bit of a Jack Johnson vibe he was going for there, Rosie, potentially.
Yeah, I guess so. When the guitar playing doesn't match up with the... It's reassuring to know that
he can do almost anything with a cricket bat in hand, but...
Not that.
Not his genre.
Well, he's not without talent, but he just can't quite get it together. That's probably what Rosie's saying. And he can strum a bit. He gets a bit of a
it's
tune.
It's like
away,
on the Zoom call where one person's just slightly out of sync.
Yeah, yeah.
Or something.
David's on the line from Box Hill. G'day, David. Who's your favourite sports person who's made a mess of music?
Oh, not so much my favourite, but it's definitely someone that's been hitting the head a few times as well. It's Mike Tyson in The Hangover.
Yeah.
I can feel it coming in the air tonight.
You're a chorus-line guy.
Hold on. But I've been waiting for this moment for all my life.
One more time, guys.
Hold on.
Thanks, David.
That's great, David.
Darren from Croydon, who have you got for a sports star who ventured into the world of entertainment?
G'day, guys. Mark Jackson from former Geelong and Melbourne player.
Yeah.
An individual.
Here it is.
I'm an individual. You can't fool me. An individual. You can't fool me. A genuine original. You can't fool me. I keep an open mind because I'm thinking all the time.
Jacko, yes, and St Kilda. Don't forget he played at St Kilda and Richmond, where he started, of course, Darren, and finished off his career at Brunswick in the VFA. No, he was great, Jacko. He actually did get it. Cameron from Churnside Park. G'day, Cameron.
Good morning, everyone. How are you today?
Good. Okay, mate. Well, the Blues are fighting back, mate. They're starting to recruit players. They're knocking off players from Essendon now. Adam Sard wants to go there. You're a blue bagger, are you, Cameron?
I certainly am, Eddie. I certainly am. And yes, it's been okay here for the Blues, but Darcy goes all right with this thing. But I reckon Dicks, he just brings back so many memories for us.
Well, I was the sound engineer on this one. I was actually holding the microphone outside Norton's Hotel on the Monday after the grand final, and here's the great Sticks Kernahan.
Sometimes it's hard to be a woman. Stand by your man and tell the world you love him. Baby, stand by your man.
Amazing.
Can't hear that one enough, Rosie.
Oh, no, that's I love so it. Good.
This is popping up everywhere, by the way. Nick. Away you go, Nick.
Morning, guys. I was just wondering if there was one from a former Bulldogs champion covering the fray.
Oh. Lost and insecure.
This was banned, Rosie. You this was told me. Never to you go to air ever again. On the floor. Surrounded, why'd you have to wait? Where were you? Where were you? That's enough.
No, you gotta hear the end. It's my favorite bit. Here we go.
Here it comes. You found me, you found me.
Where's my backup vocals?
It's been a while.
I should sue Malloy. Seriously.
Stick around. There's more of Triple M's Hot Breakfast Saturday edition to come shortly. Triple M's Hot Breakfast, Saturday edition.
Michaela Cash is one of our favourite politicians in the world. We love her work. She comes on. She's full of energy. And
is
before
she
we
ever?
Talk to her about her jobs portfolio, have a listen back to what happened in recent times. And I tell you, we're talking about giving some curry.
A bad call from the government is go and have a curry for the
country. Go and have a curry for the country. Hey, I'm going to tell the Prime Minister that one. A curry for the country. I love it. I love Indian food. It's my favourite food. I promise you I will do that.
It's brilliant.
Well, Peter Costello said we had to have one for the country and one for each parent. Now Michaela Cash is telling us we need to have a curry for the country. Good morning, Michaela.
Good morning. And I have to say, in the context of that statement, A, I stand by it. I do love Indian food. But that was obviously all about, if you recall, we needed to get back out and support those small businesses that have been hard hit by COVID. But in particular, you know, those restaurants. And I know it was widely welcomed by the Indian community at the time.
Well done, Michaela. Powering ahead as the Minister for Employment, Skills, Small and Family Businesses, and the announcement around creating jobs, particularly 100,000 new apprenticeship positions. Tell us what you're up to and what do we need to get behind?
Look, absolutely. And thanks so much for talking about this, because it's 100,000 new apprenticeship and traineeship places that we are creating. We are providing a 50% wage subsidy to employers who take on a new apprentice or trainee from the 5th of October through to the 30th of September next year. This is just so important because, as you know, we need to get that skills pipeline locked down. So to any employer listening into your show, if you were thinking about taking on an apprentice or trainee, please call my department. You'll qualify for the 50% wage subsidy, and that's 100,000 new apprenticeships and traineeships across Australia.
Now, just on another topic, Michaela, the idea, you've been outspoken recently of border closures, particularly Western Australia keeping their hard border closed. What are your thoughts on that? Seems that we need to get the country opened up as quickly as possible.
Look, at the Commonwealth, as you know, we've been pretty clear. Unless there is a health reason to keep borders closed, we need to commence this economic recovery. You only get on that path to economic recovery if you lift restrictions and open borders. Western Australia has done well to date. I will admit that. However, I am now getting more and more people calling my office and saying, why can't I go to South Australia? Why can't I go to the NT? Why can't I go to the ACT? You know, these are states and territories that have lower levels of community transmission, in fact, none, in some cases, than Western Australia. People now want to see their families. Christmas is coming up. And if there's no health reason as to why we can't travel, you do have to question why the McGowan government won't allow people to travel, in particular to those states and territories.
Is this because you want to go home? Is it, Michaelia?
No, oh, look, I have to say, I have been very lucky. I have been able to travel between Western Australia and the ACT. And you know that I'm a big fan of Western Australia, except I have to throw this in for both of you. When it comes to Saturday night and what happened at the football, let's not talk about it, Eddie. Let's not talk about it. Okay.
Well, now that you've brought it up.
I could hear my husband's screams. I was actually in Canberra. I could hear him screaming from Perth. It was quite disturbing. But what a close game. What a close game.
Yeah, well, don't worry. You can console yourself by looking at the 2018 Premiership, of course. So I haven't got over that. And I haven't got over you.
AFL.
you and Julie Bishop standing there at the MCG, jumping up and down. Fanning, it was unbelievable. The hairstyles didn't even move in the breeze. It was magnificent. Just giving it to me. I remember. Don't worry.
Oh, no.
Triple M's Hot Breakfast, Saturday edition.
Hey, how are you guys doing, man? Good to see you again.
Tell us a bit about Can't Help Me Now.
I kind of went back on this record to just the old school way of doing things, which is just me sitting in a room with a piano or a guitar, just kind of writing until I wrote 12 songs that I liked. This was a song about, you know, I've been with my wife. We just celebrated our 21st wedding anniversary.
Wow.
And so we have this sense of like where, you know, after all that time, you're best friends. You can lean on each other. If you have a problem, that's the person you go to, except for when one of us is the problem. And when one of us is the problem, we can, you know, then we don't know where the recourse is. So it's just a song about that, about like, you know, kind of feeling this. And when the one person you go to when you want help is the person that you really are angry with.
It's a great, and it's not very rock and roll, Rob, 21 years married. Congratulations. Just celebrated, actually coming up is my 17th wedding anniversary. And it seems a bit uncommon these days. Everyone's breaking up. And what's the secret for you, Rob? How have you and your beautiful wife lasted so long?
I mean, she's my best friend. That helps, I think, a lot. I think that, you know, I'm noticing in this industry especially, it's more and more common. You know, I think that there's less and less of the idea that you need to, you know, be out on the road. Like I spent, when I first started here, I had a good 3 or 4 years maybe that I, you know, when things started to really happen. I mean, I had all the time in local bands, you know, which is just kind of weird, just crazy to begin with. But then I had a good 3 or 4 years around the world. So I got to kind of shake out all the bugs and have a really good time until it really just felt kind of empty. And then I met my wife and we were both so young that we did it together for many years, you know, like we were being young and crazy and foolish and doing drugs all over the world and having a great time and, you know, just kind of like figuring out who we were. So she did all that with me. And I think that's a really big help. And I don't feel like I ever missed out on anything. And then we feel like everything that we've done, we kind of did it together.
And I like that term, shake out all the bugs. That's the first way I've heard it described. But
we actually caught a few bugs along the journey. That was the problem. But
you guys, I'm in my studio here at home. Right over here, I just want you to notice, I've got my Triple M sign right there.
Ah, you do.
It's fantastic.
It's a permanent
picture.
Staple in my But here's the funny thing. It's a permanent staple because I did a live Zoom with you guys. And you asked for it back, and I just never gave it back to you.
Good. Keep it.
Hey, Rob, I'm interested in this idea of, you know, someone achieves your success, your level of, you know, 80 million record sales and hits everywhere around the world. But to try and do it, whenever I speak to you, I think that sounds like a person who does it with balance, who does it with happiness, and does it with fulfillment. How do you achieve that? Because a lot of people get success and then get a lot of pain with it. What's the secret to Rob Thomas and your way of seeing so balanced?
You say, I mean, like I'm not tortured by my art. I'm tortured by life sometimes, you know, as you get older and things happen and you have love and loss and all those things. And then I write about it. I think I've never really thought too hard about my career, if that makes sense. Like I've really just thought about, I want to write the best songs I can possibly write, you know, and then I go out. And I genuinely enjoy the relationships that I make when I come to, and I meet people at radio and I've known them now for 20 some odd years. And I, you know, to see the ones that are still around just like I am, it feels good. I think you genuinely have to enjoy it. I think you genuinely have to do it for the right reasons. And that's not to say that everybody who is successful does that and everybody who's not successful, they didn't. But there's a lot of luck that's involved. And I think that in those little moments where you can make your own luck, I think that's part of it is you just need to really keep focused over the years on what it is you do for a living. What I do for a living is I write songs. I'm not here to, you know, I'm not a famous person. I'm not a celebrity. I'm a songwriter. and that's my job. So I just go back and I go to my room and I sit down and I write songs until I think somebody should hear them.
Stick around. There's more of Triple M's Hot Breakfast Saturday edition to come shortly. Triple M's Hot Breakfast, Saturday edition.
Fair to say there's a few people like you, Bridget, there who've been getting involved on the online shopping.
What online shopping purchase have you made, Nick?
Made just the one, and it's the best thing I've ever bought. It's a massage gun. Now, I've honestly never bought anything online, but the kids were saying to me, go on, Dad, you got to buy it. You know you want it, because it kept, as Bridget was saying. And let me tell you, Bridget, you're still a glamour like you were back in the 80s, sitting up in the God's Bar drinking your pina coladas.
Thank you very much.
Hey, Nick, is this the massage? I've seen the AFL players, and my kids are all over this. It's like a massage thing, handheld.
Yeah, it's a drill. It looks like a drill with like a dial on the end of it. And you sit there and... not a word of a lie. For 20 minutes, you'll sack your physio in a heartbeat. You'll never need to go to...
I'm so getting one. So the only question I have is sometimes I once had one, a big thing that vibrated, and it made me feel a bit dizzy, I've got to be honest.
Sure did, Bridge. Yeah. Okay.
Did you read the instructions, Bridge?
It comes in black and red.
Online.
And pink as well, I just noticed there, Bridge.
Oh, yeah, hello.
Get one in every colour. Azeem's on the line from Epping Online Purchase. Azeem, what did you get?
Oh, yeah, I bought a Cleveland launcher off Wish.com. It came with like a
golf club?
Yeah, a golf club. So I was pretty wrapped. You know, it's a well-known club. But when I got to the seventh hole at Bundoora, the head flew off.
Let's go to John from Croydon. Welcome, John.
G'day, guys. First, I just want to say you guys are doing an awesome job and loving every morning listening to you.
Thanks, Johnny. Johnny.
Luke, your machine gun theme before, I bought something recently. It's called a salt gun.
now, salt gun? What does that do?
A mate of mine got me onto it. It's basically a fly swat replacement. So you load up salt into it. And you basically, it's like a little sort of punching shotgun, and yeah.
And you shoot the blowflies with it.
Yeah.
You shoot the flies and try not to shoot yourself because it really hurts.
Oh, wow, genius, Johnny. Okay, send us a link to that. That's and it's full of salt, so it knocks off the blowies, does it?
Yeah, it does, mate. And it hurts a lot.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, it'd be dangerous in my house having a pump action machine gun with salt water in it. Though, actually, I might think this one through. Thank you, John. Linda from Torquay. What did you buy, Linda?
Hi, guys. Love your show. I actually bought a set of chef's pens.
Pens.
Explain that, Linda. What does that mean?
Okay. You know when you go to a restaurant and you order dessert and they have that beautiful, fancy little drawings on your plate?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Well, it's a set of those.
What could go wrong?
Well, one, I can't draw for peanuts. And two, we don't even have dessert at home.
I love it.
Oh, brilliant, Linda.
Triple M's Hot Breakfast, Saturday edition.
Limo is with us. Now, love the early bird quiz, guys. Tune in every morning. And I identified a little bit of a pattern. I think, Ed, you might have identified this pattern as well on the early bird quiz last week. Now, let's have a listen to this.
Glenn from Wattle Glen is with us. You're Craig from Craigieburn today. Glenn from Glenroy. I can't wait till we get somebody from the country.
I don't know if anyone joined the old campaigners club that morning. But I do love it when someone's name is in their suburb.
Oh, it's like if I lived in Rosanna.
Rosie from Rosanna.
I used to live in Rose Street. That was pretty funny.
You know, Ken from Kensington.
Mm-hmm.
Or Albert from Albert Park or wherever. I'd love to hear from a Roy who lives in Fitzroy.
That's it. Or Glenroy.
Or Glenroy. Glenn and a Roy from Glenroy.
Glenn from Glen Waverley.
Hey.
Tell us your story, Glenn. Trying to work it out.
Good morning, yes. Glenn, I grew up in Glen Waverley. I'm currently now in Cranbourne. But my name is actually two parts. Obviously, first name is Glenn. My second name is Douglas. And in Scotland, there was a pub called the Glen Douglas, which I was named after.
Oh, fantastic.
Glen Douglas.
So you weren't named after Glenn Waverley?
No. Okay. No.
Good on you, Glenn. From Glen Waverley, Ryan's on the line from Greensboro. What have you got for us, Ryan?
Hey guys, I'm Ryan from O'Brien Electrical, and yeah, the issue being is that I have to introduce myself multiple times a day, and everyone just seems to laugh.
Ryan from O'Brien's.
Did you get a few Dr. Seuss references along the way, Ryan?
too many.
All right. Thank you, Ryan. O'Brien's.
Andrew from Cranbourne. What can you tell us?
G'day, guys. How we doing?
Yeah, good. What do you got for us, Andrew?
I grew up with a bloke. His name was Ian McKinnon. He lived in McKinnon Road, McKinnon.
Very nice.
Pete is on the line from Geelong. What have you got for us?
Yeah, g'day, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. What's your coincidental name, Pete?
Peter Street, that used to play for the Bulldogs and Geelong.
My old teammate, Big Street. He's a police officer now, Peter Street.
All right.
Yep. When he lived in Geelong, he lived in Peter Street, Grovedale.
Peter Street.
That's true.
My mum was born in England, and she was born in a little town called Thanet, and she's Janet from Thanet.
Would you believe? I love Janet from Thanet.
Anthony Johnson from Ballarat.
The bloke that rang up before about Ian McKinnon.
Yeah.
He lived on McKinnon Street in McKinnon.
Yes, well, he also worked in the bottle shop of the McKinnon Hotel in McKinnon Road, McKinnon.
Ian McKinnon. True story. From McKinnon Road, McKinnon, worked at the McKinnon Hotel. That is brilliant.
Want more of Ed and Das? Then don't miss Triple M's Hot Breakfast. Weekdays from 6 on 105.1 Triple M.